Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hello and welcome into this Monday edition of the Lombardi Line. We're coming to you from coast to coast as always. Former NFL executive Michael Lombardi joining us from his office in Jersey. I'm Stormy Bonantoni, live from our VSiN studio at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. The 49ers and Eagles are remaining undefeated teams in the NFL, but the Buffalo Bills with the biggest statement win of the weekend. And you're hearing this correctly, Zach Wilson outplayed Patrick Mahomes last night in primetime on Sunday Night Football. So needless to say, we got a lot to break down here, Michael, an interesting day of games yesterday. What were some of your biggest takeaways?
Well, I thought Buffalo was sensational. I mean, McDermott did an incredible job of game planning against Miami. And the fact that they have, this is 3 weeks in a row where Josh Allen has played point guard. He's just been incredible how he's been dishing the ball, setting everybody else up. They've been running the ball with physicality, controlling the clock, and playing complimentary football. I thought it was as good a performance as I've seen out of Buffalo in 3 years. No mistakes, no taking chances, not trying to take the game over. They were really good. I thought that was impressive. You know, when you then look over the rest of the league, you know, Kansas City starts out like a world on fire Sunday night, 200 yards in the first quarter. You think, oh my gosh, they're just going to run this out of the, and all of a sudden they stub their toe and they can't get going. I don't have a sense of, like, who is the best team in the league? I think San Francisco clearly is. I thought Dallas was impressive yesterday. But I think Buffalo, the way Allen played and the way their offense is operating, it's more of a Western New York offense than it ever was. The other thing is Lamar Jackson is and should be in the MVP conversation again, because he just takes his team. They didn't have anybody on the field. They're still missing Ronnie Stanley. They're still missing their receivers. You know, he goes in against the best defense in football and wins the game's over at halftime.
Lamar Jackson, 11-1 on the MVP odds board right now. But to your point, Josh Allen, plus 380, he is the favorite. Had a 5-touchdown day, 320 yards, 4 touchdowns passing, 3 of those going to Stephon Diggs, no picks, 17 yards on the ground, 1 rushing touchdown. He was a great decision maker. And it's like 3 games in a row now, coming off of that 4-turnover performance week 1, where he has just been consistently impressive week in and week out. Tua Tagovailoa, second shot on the odds board for MVP, 5-1. Followed by Mahomes plus 550 and Jalen Hurts at 7-1. You mentioned last night the performance.
You know, Stormy.
Yeah, go ahead.
We talk about MVP. So yesterday I had to have the sound on because Millie's home, so we had to have the sound on. And so naturally, my man Jim Nance is doing the game. You got Tony Romo, start of the Miami game, and Romo was exactly in the same place I am. Like, let's just put this out there, like, Tyreek Hill is the most valuable player in the league. Like, you can say whatever, like, all these numbers that are being posted by Miami offensively, they all come back to Tyreek Hill. And Romo said exactly the same thing. Like, I know it's a quarterback award that's pretty clear, that the fact that Tyreek Hill isn't in the conversation when they're doing historic things offensively, that if you were to ask any coach who played against Miami who they fear to death, it's Tyreek Hill. It's so obvious that I don't get why nobody else can see it. It's so obvious. And when he said that, I'm like, okay, at least he sees it.
And Michael, to your point, so because Tyreek Hill got relatively bottled up against the Buffalo Bills, which we talked about going into the game, is something you expected. McDermott's done a good job game planning against him in the past. He goes from 50-1 in MVP to 75-1. And from offensive player of the year, he's not even the favorite anymore. He's the third shot on the board at 5-1. But obviously a wide receiver has never won MVP before. There's been a couple close calls where you wonder, had those guys not won, will it ever happen? So you always say, just call it a quarterback award because it's something that's not going to happen. But Tyreek Hill now, like I said, third shot on the board. Christian McCaffrey, your favorite for offensive player of the year, plus 225, and Justin Jefferson, 5-1. But you would give it to Hill over those two?
I mean, look, Hill to me tilts the field so much,
yeah,
because of what he's able to do and what they're doing with him too. And he also highlights the talents of the quarterback, the accuracy, getting the ball out of his hands quick. you know, if you don't have somebody who gets open that quick, it's hard. You have to hold the ball. You have to hold. Look, I just asked Joe Burrow.
Oh, gosh, don't remind me about Joe Burrow, who I have the worst fantasy quarterback situation on my team in the history of fantasy quarterback situations, Michael, where Joe Burrow was who I drafted. And I said, you know what? I trust in Kenny Pickett as a solid backup. What? My situation is brutal. Yet I somehow still won this week despite what I had to start at quarterback. Neither here nor there. We will get back to this weekend because – the thing I want to follow up on with what you said about the Chiefs-Jets game, Zach Wilson, this is far and away the best game that we have seen from him. I know, obviously, he botches the fumble at the end of the game after everything was going so well. That's the way that things play out, and you lose 23-20. But based on what you saw last night, is Robert Saleh right in the thought process that Zach Wilson could give this team their best chance to win? Do you think that that's what we're going to see more of moving forward, or is he going to go back to what we have largely seen and expected from him in his career?
Well, I mean, I think they got to keep letting him do this. He was successful doing this. He against a very good defense. This wasn't a defense that we think is just average, and he kind of made the most of it. He's going to face a really bad defense in Denver next week. Next Sunday. So, but they have to protect him from himself and not turn the ball over. But again, Stormy, let's have this conversation. Nobody wants to have it. When is the defense going to become elite? When are they going to become elite? You know, they created two turnovers yesterday, which is the first two they've had in 3 weeks. They gave up 204 yards rushing. Last week, they gave up 157. The week before, they gave up 134. Like, at some point, they gave up 26 first downs to Dallas, 17 to the Patriots, and 24 to the Chiefs. The only thing that kept that game close was the Chiefs were 0-for-4 in the red zone. That was the only reason. And so this is a game going to Denver. They're going to have to win because they come back and play Philly before their bye week. And that's going to be a little bit of a tough outing there. And they're going to have to let this kid see if he can grow. Now, the problem is when you get into this situation is last year is with Zach Wilson, we have seen him have moments like last year. He had moments of playing good. He did. I mean, I think it was week four. Actually, it was the same week. It was week four against Pittsburgh. He has, you know, he basically comes back in. He throws a touchdown pass to Corey Davis. He leads him on the last drive. They basically come back and win the game in the fourth quarter because he played so well. And then the next week, he wasn't very good.
Yeah, I think next week is going to be really telling for this team on both sides of the ball because they're getting points on the road in Denver. 3 points is what I've seen so far, maybe 2.5 out there. But a game that, and in my brain, if they play like that offensively, they should win. And a Denver offense that's so-so, if the Jets defense is who they think they are and who they claim to be, should have a good performance. I want to give them credit. They did snap in, obviously, later on in the game after, I mean, they started, allowed 200 yards, 17 points, not even 12 minutes into the game. But they were able to pull it together down the stretch. So I want to give them credit there.
Yeah.
Michael, these last couple minutes, I want to make sure that we touch on Monday Night Football because we do have a big one coming up tonight. We'll get your official selections at the very end of the show. But Seattle, a 2-point favorite in New York against the Giants. We're seeing that total at 47. The Giants are going to be without Andrew Thomas for the third straight game, dealing with a hamstring. Saquon Barkley listed as doubtful, recovering from the high ankle sprain. He did practice on a limited basis this week, but it not looking like he'll be able to get out there. What's your just general evaluation, immediate thoughts on this game tonight?
Well, last year, when you study that tape last year, I mean, the Giants did a really good job of holding them. The Seattle had 25 carries for 87 yards. You know, and they only threw for a 190 in the game. So they did a really good job of containing the Seattle offense, which at this time of the year, Geno was hot. Geno was playing really well, like he is now. But they fumbled 3 times in the game. They lost 2 of them, both of them on punts. And where they got really messed up is they didn't convert third downs. They had typically for the Giants, they have a lot of third downs because they're not an explosive offense. They were only 6-for-16 on third down in that game out there in Seattle, but they held the ball for 33 minutes. I expect them to be more of the Giants that we remember from last year. Control the clock, control the football, let Daniel Jones do a little bit of running. I can't imagine that Saquon's going to be able to do much if he can do anything at all. But I think this has got to be, as I said to Thomas Gable, this has got to be their best punch, right? Mm-hmm. This is not their season, but you can't be on national TV again and lay an egg. And this is all going to be on Daniel Jones. He's got to play well. I mean, last time against Seattle, he was sacked 5 times out in Seattle. Understanding when you play out there, the crowd noise does make a difference. But he can't get sacked 5 times. They got to do a good job protecting him. And they've had 11 days to get ready for this game. 11 days. They should have the best game plan on the field.
Yeah, TG said it's do or die time. And if you did miss any of that conversation from hour one, remember you can always download the Lombardi Line in podcast form. You and Femi also have a new edition of the GM Shuffle coming out today. New episodes out every Monday and Thursday. But to your point about Daniel Jones, the thing that concerns me, if you are back in the Giants in this spot, especially if you like them to get that outright win, the Danny Dimes primetime numbers are not good. 1-11, the worst primetime win percentage by any starting quarterback with a minimum of 10 starts in his career. His only win was last year, week 15 against the Washington Commanders. And I wouldn't exactly say that that's a win you want to boast and write home and brag about, right? So that's the one thing that would concern me. We always talk about these trends and how sometimes they can reinforce a point and something that you already feel positive about, and sometimes can make you want to stay off of a game. And those primetime numbers for Daniel Jones, that's one that makes me want to potentially stay off of that side.
Yeah, that's what got to give you. But at some point, you got to break the trend, right?
Yeah. Yep.
You got to break the trend. And this is the time to do it. But you just got $40 million. At some point, if you got $40 million, you got to break the trend.
We got a few guys that need some advice and motivation. Step into Michael's office next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com and check out the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving for every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, another way VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. You can check out those betting splits for every game at VSiN.com.
The appointments are lined up.
You waiting for somebody in there?
Got an appointment.
And it's not about what you want to hear, but what you need to hear.
It's not personal, son. It's strictly business.
It's time you and me had a private talk where step into my office.
It's Step Into My Office with Michael Lombardi. Mr. Lombardi, we'll see you now.
All right, Michael, your 2:15 appointment is here. Step into Michael's office. Mac Jones, who is responsible for all 3 turnovers in the Patriots. Huge loss to the Dallas Cowboys, including 2 of which that were ugly and returned for touchdowns. The 35-point loss marked not one of the worst, but the worst loss that Bill Belichick has had in his time as the head coach of the New England Patriots. He's a former first-round pick that had high expectations, Michael. He has not lived up to. If he's taken a seat in your office, what do you have to say?
Well, I think, Mac, the number one thing we got to do is we got to stop beating ourselves. And that starts with you. You got to protect the football. When you look over the last 15 games, we're 6-9. You know, you've thrown 17 touchdown passes, 10 interceptions. You know, we've not been able to score more than 27 points in any of those games, win, lose, or draw. And we've got to figure out how to move the football, but also make really good game situation decisions. Last week on 3rd and 3, you decided to take a shot on a 9 route down the field when the route's an inside route. You know, and then you make a horrible throw when you do it. It's not just playing smart, it's being smart. And it starts with just having some confidence and doing what the offense is going to do. Play point guard. Don't try to do more than you're capable of doing. And don't try to force the ball into areas. And just react to what you're seeing. Because you've got enough starts. You've seen enough coverages. You've seen enough out there. It's time for you to use your skill set as an accurate thrower and as a decision maker. And if you're not going to do that, it's going to be hard for you to continue your career down the road. I mean, you are one of the 4 players in this draft that have struggled to play this position at quarterback. Some of it's been on the offensive line, but at the end of the day, you got to make throws that can help us win games. And you haven't been able to do that. And that's going to be starting this week. You got to do nothing but no pressure. Just play relaxed, but play smart. You know, you fourth and one, we got to get the first down there. You know, you flick the ball out to the defense, to a little receiver. You got to make the flick. Like, these are just things that we have to do. We just can't let it slide. So for me, to gain confidence in yourself starts with one day. Starts with a great Wednesday practice. Have a great Wednesday practice, and let's do the things you do really well.
Yeah, got to dial back in the mental side, especially after you think about how they brought in an established offensive coordinator in Bill O'Brien for him, kept Mac Jones involved in the way that they were going to reset up this playbook for him, yet through 3.5 games, he's getting benched, and it's not looking good. Another offense that's not looking good right now is that of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Matt Canada stepping into the office here as Pittsburgh was outgained by the Texans in the first half Sunday, 271-53, with the Steelers offense having just 35 passing yards. They had four first downs, were 2 of 6 on third down, and facing a 16-0 hole. And that's just in the first half, Michael. What does Matt Canada need to hear moving forward if he wants to maintain his position in Pittsburgh?
Well, Matt, I think what you need to figure out is we've played four games, and this is the quarter mark in the NFL season, which is really time to spend on what we need to fix, not what our opponent has coming towards us. And I would take as much time as possible in the next 48 hours to really try to put on the black, on the whiteboard things we do well, if there are things we do well, things we don't do well. There's a lot of those. And how do we get the ball, and how do we maximize what our skills are, and how do we highlight that? Now, we're not going to have Kenny Pickett for the next 3 weeks. So you know you've got Trubisky. You know you're going to have to manage Trubisky because he's prone to make mistakes. But he also gives you a little bit more athleticism at the position. But you're going to have to tailor down the book. You're going to have to kind of rely more on execution. And you're going to have to rely on being a little bit more elaborate with what we're doing. We just can't run, run, pass. We've got to be able to work the ball. We've won two games this year. Each time we've won a game, we've made a pass play over 70 yards. We've been fortunate. We've been really fortunate. We could easily be 0-4. So you're going to have to figure out what we can do and what we should just stop doing. And it starts with the run game. And it starts with us trying to have some balance to where we can control the line of scrimmage. And you got to figure that out in the next 48 hours.
Yep, Mike Tomlin said he needs to see some changes after what they saw. All right, time is up, Matt Canada. Next in the appointment book, Joe Burrow stepping into Michael Lombardi's office. Mm. We talked about it a little bit earlier, Michael, through four games. His numbers are actually statistically worse than that of Zach Wilson so far, obviously playing through a difficult calf injury that has made him look different. He was 20 of 30 for 165 passing yards on Sunday, his second game of the year, sub 200. The offense has not scored a touchdown in the first half of any of their games to this point. If Joe Burrow is in the office, Michael, what are you telling him as it pertains to his health? Does he need to sit and get healthy, or does he still give Cincinnati the best chance to win, in your opinion?
Look, Joe, I think if we're not going to change what we do offensively, if we're not going to tailor it around your lack of mobility, you're actually hurting us more than you're helping us. Now, I'm not saying Jake Browning's going to help us win games, but right now everybody knows you're a sitting target. Yeah. Nobody cares about you going outside the tackle box. Our offensive line isn't good enough to protect you. We can't get first downs. We haven't had a game where we've gotten more than 20 first downs all season. We haven't had a game where we've thrown for over 250 yards all season. And that's really because of, A, our scheme is too generic. We're in one formation all the time. People know where you're going to be. And it's challenging. And so either you're 100% healthy or you got to be 100% not helping the team. And I think you need to take this some time off because we got two games coming up against Arizona and then Seattle. You know, maybe we could go out and play really good defense and beat Arizona. Maybe we could beat Seattle at home. And then we got the bye week before we go play San Francisco after the bye. That's got to be, to me, that gives you 3 whole weeks to get yourself healthy. Because if we continue down this pace where you can't drive the ball, and without T. Higgins in the game, everybody's double and chase. He had them a touchdown all season after 4 weeks. We're having a hard time moving the ball. And it's only going to get harder now. So why not get healthy? I think you got to think long-term, not short-term.
Yeah, it's like, Joe, I understand that you're a competitor and you want to be there for your team, but maybe the best way you can be there for your team is by sitting out for a little bit and getting as close to 100% as you possibly can. How about Bryce Young, rookie quarterback for the Carolina Panthers? It's been an ugly start, and I know it's not all on him, Michael. There have been a lot of things that have been issues for the Carolina Panthers here so far, but the 0-4 start for Carolina is the same amount of games lost that Bryce Young had as a starter at Alabama. He is not used to this. What's causing Young's early struggles? How would you encourage him to improve?
I think you just got, look, every rookie has this problems. I mean, just call Troy Aikman on the phone. Call Peyton Manning on the phone. You know, I wouldn't stress. I keep trying to do the things you're doing. Protect the football is most important. You know, the fumble hurt us, but you've got to do the best thing you can to protect the ball. And you got to try to find a way to work the ball down the field. Right now, we're 31st in the National Football League in yards per attempt. We got to get the ball down the field a little bit. I understand there's not a lot of receivers open, and this offensive line doesn't give you a lot of time. But we're going to have to figure out a way to run the ball, and we're going to have to figure out a way to have some play action. Maybe you might want to ask Frank Reich if we can get under center a little bit so we could have some hard play action to give you some throws up the field a little bit. But look, just keep doing what you're doing. Keep studying the game. Keep preparing for the teams that you have been. It's going to all click. And as the team gets better around you and the line starts to protect, I think it's really going to click. Your decision-making has improved upon every single week. The wins haven't, but that's part of the problem when you play rookie quarterbacks. Yesterday in the National Football League, a bunch of guys started rookie quarterbacks. One guy won, C.J. Stroud. And he's in a very quarterback-friendly offense. Under center, which he never was, a lot of play-action throws, and he's doing a really good job. So it might be something for you to look at and maybe suggest.
Michael, where things sit right now, is Baker Mayfield the best quarterback in the NFC South?
Yeah, I think he is.
Hard thing to say out loud, isn't it?
I mean, Ritter, we were doing the game yesterday here. Ritter, you know, he unless he can throw what I call pitch and catch throws, which is he sees the receiver's numbers to him, you know, and he threw three curls before he got the fourth curl intercepted. So, yeah, I mean, I think Mayfield, one thing Mayfield's done this year is escaped a lot of problems. He's gotten out of it. Even in the opening game against Minnesota, they had him on the ground. He got away from it, and he's operated within it, and their defense has carried him. Look, when they play better teams, but I think you're right, Stormy. He might be the best one, as hard as that is for me to say.
It felt like it was fitting that Desmond Ritter was playing in the Toy Story themed game, because I felt like every time he had the ball in his hands, he just like laid down and played dead, like as if Andy was coming into the room and all the dolls had to lay down. That's just the visual that I had personally. We got a former Atlanta Falcon coming on next. Mike Pritchard, our NFL senior analyst here at VSiN, will join us next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NHL season is right around the corner, and our hockey betting experts are ready for all of the action. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get our all-new NHL betting guide featuring previews for all 32 teams. We've got futures bets, award selections, and season-long props. First period betting strategies, Steve Mackinnon's power ratings, plus best bet articles 5 days a week once the season gets underway. This guy is a must-have. We've got key insights and data for both avid hockey bettors or anybody who's new to the sport. Give yourself an edge this season. Get the VSiN NHL betting guide by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber today. VSiN.com/subscribe. My Vegas Golden Knights, the defending Stanley Cup champ, sixth on the odds board to repeat 12-1. So get a bunch of opinions on the upcoming NHL season. But we'll stick to football for now. Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonantoni with you as the season rolls on. And we welcome into the show our NFL senior analyst covering the sport, Mike Pritchard, longtime wide receiver in the National Football League, also won a national championship with the CU Buffs back in the 90s. Welcome in, Pritch. How are we today?
I'm great. Senior, like in senior citizen or older statesman or senior? I'm trying to understand that senior one.
Senior as in just the bulk knowledge that you provide on a daily basis here,
right,
Pritch, okay?
I love it.
Let's get into a little bit of what you saw yesterday around the National Football League as things roll on here. Maybe some of your biggest takeaways or impressions that you had from the Week 4 slate.
Yeah, you know what, Stormy, I like to break up the season in quarters. A lot of people do that. So we're through the first quarter of the season. And really, you know, what's standing out to me, you know, complete teams or coaching situations that are kind of either holding teams back or making a difference, or even quarterbacks that are holding teams back or making a difference. And so from a betting standpoint, that's really where I'm at right now. Like, I'm upgrading just three teams throughout the league. And, you know, I'll throw in Miami, but you're looking at San Francisco. Certainly you're looking at Buffalo and you're looking at Miami. Outside of that, you know, it's kind of weird when you want to think that quarterback can distinguish or make a difference in some of your capping or some of your situations you're looking at for some of these teams. We had 5 300-yard passers. Two of those, or three of them, belong. I mean, you think about Jalen Hurts, you know, with the weapons he has around him, he should be throwing for 300 yards. And that's a welcome sight if you're a Philadelphia fan or a Philadelphia backer. You know, of course, Josh Allen, I mean, he's going to drive that team. But then you got, you know, people like C.J. Stroud, like Matt Stafford. I mean, he's supposed to be there. But C.J. Stroud and Justin Fields, you know, they have these games, and you're wondering what's going on there. And so for me, C.J. Stroud is starting to distinguish himself and really make a difference for that football team, along with DeMeco. And that's a great coaching quarterback combination, I think, for bettors to zero in on. And then you have situations like, okay, Arthur Smith and Ridder, you know, what's going on there? And I really, I'm glad to be on your show today, because I want to ask Michael about how long do you wait for a quarterback or for it to click in for a certain player? Like, the Jets are waiting for it to click in with Zach, right? And I wonder how long Atlanta is going to waste time for it to click in with Ridder, when a lot of times they are who we thought they are or were, you know, and it's like the stubbornness of moving on, or the stubbornness of trying something else. Sometimes you can lose the season that way. And I was just curious about that. And then also, just from a betting standpoint, how that's going to play out the rest of the year as well.
You know, Mike, I think if you made the move, we were doing the show yesterday, and Femi asked me, would you, early in the game, would you put Taylor Heineke in? Once you make that move, it's hard to go back. You know, when Belichick benched Mac yesterday, that really wasn't a benching. The game was over. It was a retreat. There's difference between a benching and a retreat. That game was over, so he just, you know, get Zappy in there. There's no sense in keep going. But I agree. I mean, I think that whole draft, the Mac Jones draft, we have enough data out there. You know, it's usually 20 games you figure out. I mean, Mac's 6-9 over the last 15. Justin Fields has only won 6 games. Everybody said, well, he threw for 300 yards yesterday. Yeah, okay, he did. And he played his best game until it mattered. Until it mattered, and he fumbled, touchdown. And he had a chance to get his team back into the game again, and he threw an interception. So, like, those are the things, like, people dismiss it, but when you lose games and lose your job over turnovers of unforced errors, it's really hard. And, you know, you don't want to blame the players for everything, but sometimes a player – I mean, Mac Jones throwing that ball across the formation – right. For the pick six was inexcusable. Like, whoever teaches that?
Nobody. And that's the thing. I mean, you pick up on stuff like that in terms of, okay, why, for instance, why is Jordan Love still throwing off his back foot, you know, and drifting the ball in the middle of the field? Those are the coaching details that are being missed, I think. And primarily, you know, you look at play callers like a LaFleur. I mean, he's calling plays. Is he really studying and looking at the deterioration of technique or lack of technique or lack of proper footwork for an important position? And it's those finer details that are standing out to me in terms of which coaches are letting it slip. Zach Taylor letting it slip in Cincinnati. And then can they get it together quick, fast, and in a hurry? And we're through one quarter of the season. And, you know, sometimes that time crunch starts to happen in the month of October.
Real quickly, to go back to those 300-yard passers this weekend, I just want the folks at home to realize Justin Fields actually had the most passing yards of any quarterback this week. So God bless anybody who cashed a 50-1 ticket this week, because that was mind-boggling looking back at this weekend. As a former wide receiver, I want to ask you about Puka Nacua, because I feel like it's his world and we're just living in it at this point. Again, 9 catches on 10 targets. He has the most receptions in the NFL with 39, the most ever for a player through his first 4 games. As Cooper Kupp is expected to get, you know, worked back into into the fold here and get on the field. How will that impact Puka Nacua in your mind and the way that he has been used so far?
I mean, I think it's just going to enhance the entire offense, Stormy. And this is, I'm glad you said and mentioned the Rams, because that's a coaching situation that's kind of enhanced what's going on with the Rams, you know, and McVay and this discovery of Nacua. I mean, it's really remarkable. It really is. But how they're utilizing him, he's the number one option in that offense. Now, Cooper Kupp will be the number one option, but you're still going to feature Nacua. I mean, you're still going to feature because he's hot, and certainly Matt Stafford has his trust with him, and he knows what he's doing on his routes, and it's really uncanny. I mean, obviously the study and the time that these guys have put into it is on display right now, similar to Cooper Kupp when Stafford first got to LA. So I think it's the entire situation. It's a total shock and awe for me to see the Rams playing this well, to be honest with you. I thought they didn't have the roster to really compete at this level. But what they're working with and what this coaching staff was working with is surprising people so far.
Mike, I think your handicap on the Rams was right, but Stafford's played like remarkable. And Sean McVay, I mean, every throw, when you see the way he gets receivers open, the way he schemed that game from the beginning. Now, if you watch that game completely, Stafford got hurt late in the game. I mean, he took a beating. And he's not going to be able to take many of those on a continual Sunday basis. But I think McVay's done his best coaching job. And I think Stafford's playing at a high, high level. He moves Note Bloom over to left tackle yesterday, which really helped out. So they got their left tackle because Jackson was out with the hamstring. And they were able to run the ball on the Colts. I think McVay's worked miracles. I really do. I think it's one of his best coaching jobs.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's really remarkable. And to your point about Justin Fields, Stormy, I mean, I'm sure people and bettors have filed this away. It's like that Denver Broncos defense. My goodness. You know, if Justin Fields can do that against that defense, then certainly you're trying to look for certain situations, because that's not going to improve overnight, right? That is, and just like Brock Purdy's not going to fall off a cliff. I mean, this is reliable data, I think, at this point, what we've been talking about so far during the show right now.
Yeah, just one incompletion for Brock Purdy against the Cardinals. Pretty impressive stuff. Last thing, about 60 seconds here, Pridge. Thoughts on tonight's Monday Night Football game? Seattle headed out to MetLife, take on the Giants as a 2-point favorite.
Well, I think coaching is going to have to make a difference again. I mean, Daboll, and can he get this team going? And certainly you love to have the health situation be okay. And then Pete Carroll, I mean, what's going on with Seattle and the identity of this team? I mean, I think Seattle has, if you look at the talent, if you look at even matchup, I mean, everything kind of favors Seattle, in my opinion. But can Pete Carroll get the most out of this team? I think Seattle's been inconsistent, just like the Giants. Both teams have been inconsistent to this point. But we're through this first quarter. The lights are on. It's Monday Night Football, and you better show up and show out. So this is going to be a tight game. I think it's a one possession game. But if the Giants are up to the task, you know, maybe that's the situation we look at right now in that game.
Great insight, Pritch. Appreciate you doing this.
I appreciate you guys.
Thanks,
a great week.
Pritch.
Thank you.
That's our guy, Mike Pritchard. Follow him on X at MI Pritchard as well. And to wrap up some thoughts there real quick on Puka Nacua, somebody who to start the season was 150-1 in the Offensive Rookie of the Year odds. He is the second shortest shot at +425 now. Not bad for a fifth round pick. We're going to step aside, wrapping things up on the Lombardi line and final thoughts on Monday Night Football. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back with another week of the NFL, and DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping us in all the action with great offers every game day. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Throw five down on any of the week's matchups every week, walk away an instant winner. Football's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the app now, sign up using the code VEGAS, and as a new customer, you can bet just $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. It's only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Make sure you use that code VEGAS. The crown is yours. We are wrapping up this Monday edition of the Lombardi Line on VSiN and DraftKings Network alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. And Michael, it's time, like we do every day around this time, to give out our pro tip of the hour. And this one is more so just centered on, I feel like it could be helpful information for the people at home to know if they are betting on the Giants today. And I'm not saying don't bet the Giants. I just want to make sure you have some information in your back pocket that Danny Dimes has not been money in primetime situations. 1-11 straight up in primetime, 5-8 ATS in his career. It is the worst primetime win percentage by any starting quarterback with a minimum of 10 starts. His only win was last year, week 15. So I just, again, I'm not saying don't bet the Giants, because like you and TG have said throughout the show today, Michael, this is like, if not now, when, this feels like a do or die necessary type of a win for the Giants. They are at home, opportunity ahead of them with all of this time to prepare for the game. But just something to keep in mind for folks at home.
Yeah, I mean, you got to keep it in mind. That's obvious, right? And so, you know, when you look at this, you're saying he's better than Kirk Cousins is actually better than him in this situation. I mean, that's the scary part, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, that's what makes you worried. I mean, like, but, you know, now this is the new $40 million man, so maybe he's going to be different.
The Giants also have lost five of their last six against Seattle, including three at MetLife during that span. So again, not telling you one thing or the other, just something that for me made me not want to bet the spread on this game personally. VSiN pro tips available at VSiN.com, searchable by sport and by show. But an angle that I did take betting this game, Michael, is Seattle in the first half. It's an even money price for them to win by more than a half a point. And if you go through the way that the Giants have started games so far, it hasn't been great. They've been outscored 63-6 in the first half this season, have yet to have a first half lead at any point, let alone at the end of the point, at the end of the second quarter. So that's at least an approach that I took, that even if you think that the Giants are going to be able to pull this thing out, get the money line win for you late, first half seems like a reasonable expectation for Seattle to have some success.
Well, I think, you know, Stormy, that's the recipe for the Giants to win, is they got to play from in front, right?
Fair.
I mean, we talked about Mac Jones and him always being behind. I mean, I think that's the recipe. And so, you know, now that they've had 11 days off, I think they went back. I said this after week one, they got to go back to being who they are. That even though they gave this guy $40 million, and we all know he's not a $40 million player, you can't change the offense for him to be a $40 million player. So for me, they got to go back to what they're doing. And what they're doing is they have to get him play from in front, be the team that leads at halftime, and keep the game close and win it in the fourth quarter. And whether they can do that tonight against Seattle remains to be seen, but that's their formula. They can't change their formula.
Well, selfishly, I hope that that doesn't happen for my bank account. But I understand the thought process, certainly. And I think that was a similar thing, like when the Giants played the 49ers, that you were thinking if they're going to have success, they're going to need to get out the gate. They still obviously end up losing that game, but that's kind of the approach that you have. As far as injuries go with this game, for the Giants, they're going to be without their left tackle, Andrew Thomas, for a third straight game, dealing with a hamstring. Saquon Barkley listed as doubtful. I believe I read earlier today that no player with a doubtful designation on game day has actually played yet. So that would be my expectation here, although he has been practicing this week on a limited basis. Maybe next week is where we see Saquon hit the field. As for Seattle, some of their defensive backfield depth might be tested. They have two corners, Artie Burns and Trey Brown, both out. Kobe Bryant, doubtful, but they do get their safety, Jamal Adams, back after a long recovery from a leg injury last September. Other question marks, offensive tackle Charles Cross is doubtful. Tight ends Noah Fant, Will Disley, and center Evan Brown, defensive end Draymond Jones, and linebacker Derek Hall, all questionable. Any of those injuries that you feel will really impact this game, Michael?
Well, I think Charles Cross not playing. If he doesn't play, I mean, now that they're down two starting tackles on the road, you know, and the Giants' front's got to play better. I mean, Lawrence and Leonard Williams and their guy, they have not played their style of defense all year. They're going to attack the pocket. They did last year against Geno Smith, you know, in that game. Even though Seattle was able to win the game, they were able to play good defense. This was one of those games where last year in Seattle that the Giants played outside their comfort zone. They turned the ball over, which is something they can't do to win. So for me, I mean, this, again, I see this as, I don't want to call it a must win, but this is one they've got to play well.
The Giants also one of two teams still yet to force a turnover. So how will their defense hold in this spot? Any thoughts on the total and where that stands? I've seen it kind of ticking back and forth between 47, 47 and a half at DraftKings at the flat 47.
You know, I think it's for the Giants, they want unders. You got to think if you want the Giants, they want unders because they need unders. I mean, they need to slow the pace down. I mean, that's kind of who they are, right? They need to slow the pace down. They're not an explosive offense. They've never been. So for me, I think that's kind of what it has to be as an under. And they got to play great. They can't let – look, Kenneth, we're going to see a really good running back in Kenneth Walker mm-hmm. tonight. He's outstanding. He ran the ball very effectively last week against Carolina. And Charbonnet from UCLA is also very good. So they got to play the run really well. They got to put the pressure and make Geno Smith kind of hurry up a little bit, kind of like what the Rams did in week one. I fully expect Martindale's defense to come after Geno.
And speaking to your thoughts on the under, Michael, right as you're answering that question, I see the flashing lights on DraftKings that it's gone down to 46.5, so taking a little bit of under money in that spot. Any thoughts on touchdown scorers or maybe some guys to target for overs? I was looking at my guy, Darren Waller. Maybe he's somebody for a touchdown or for yards. I feel like Seattle, if they have an issue on defense, it's been defending tight ends. Other areas, potentially. I don't usually make my prop bets until closer to game time, and I kind of just go from, I know that's not the wisest betting strategy, but I feel like I do all my research early in the day and then I get to the first touchdown scorer thing as like 5 minutes, 10 minutes before game time. And then I just go wild.
Look, I think for the Giants, Daniel Jones they got to be able to throw the football. I think you'll see them go a little bit of no huddle, try to pace this game a little bit and utilize the Waller in the middle of the field to try to take advantage of the season. Look, I don't think Seattle sacked them six times the last time they played them in Seattle, but that was a different game. They've got to protect the left tackle in this game. They can't let the left tackle hang alone without Andrew Thomas. The right tackle has been a liability as well, Evan Neal, the kid from Alabama. So they got to protect the line a little bit. So when you play fast and if you get the ball out fast, it helps your offensive line. You hold the ball or you chip in those situations, kind of like what the Raiders did last night. They were chipping with their tackles, and O'Connell held the ball too long. You know, sometimes when you have that protection, you want to hold the ball, but sometimes you hold it too long, and you end up getting sacked anyway. So I think this is really Daniel Jones. He's got to play well. He's got to play well tonight. And I if you're betting the Giants, this game's got to be close going into the fourth quarter, or the Giants have to play from ahead. I would favor more in-game betting than I would anything. I know people say, well, they played from behind against Arizona. Well, that was a little bit of a different situation. I mean, Arizona was basically trying to stall the game out.
Yeah, no, very, very fair point. And as you saw up there, we had some of the Monday Night Football passing props. I'm actually curious your thoughts on a rushing prop for Daniel Jones in this spot. He's shown some escapability.
There
he can
go.
Use his legs. 34.5. What do you think about the over on Daniel Jones over?
I think he's got to be over. They got to run the six back because I don't think Barkley's going to play.
I don't either.
And so when Daniel Jones is running with the ball, the Giants are a better team. And I'm not saying he's got to run 50 times, but 34. He's got to be a threat in the run game. He's got to make Seattle respect him in the run game. And he's got to look all this time. Like last night, we saw Mahomes. You know, he gets out of trouble. And he converts first downs. That's kind of what guys can do.
And that goes back to your earlier point of, from a coaching standpoint, doing things that'll play to Daniel Jones' strengths. And that's certainly one of them. So that's another prop I've been targeting. I don't know. It's so hard for me early in the day to have a good sense of what I want to do. I'm definitely that closer to game time type. But good luck, everybody out there, with your bets tonight on Monday Night Football as we wrap up what was a very, I think, intriguing, weird, and pretty fun week 4 in the NFL, Michael. But that's a wrap for us today. I think that this 2 hours went by fast, and Mondays always seem to.
Quick. Yeah, always do, Stormy. Great to be with you. Good to have you again. Hopefully you're well-rested for the week. We'll get you going.
Yes, sir. Thank you as well to our guy Thomas Gable, as well as Mike Pritchard, for joining us today. Yep. Producer Elliot Bowman behind the glass. We will be back tomorrow, same time, same place, but stick around on DraftKings Network for Pablo Torre and the Sharp Money Crew on VSiN.